listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys podcast, where three guys are watching romantic comedies. I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
And
John has been lost in a flood. I don't know if you're familiar with the Bible.
Yeah, if you're familiar with the flood story of, was it Noah?
Noah.
And the Lord told him that he was going to flood the earth. To basically hit a hard reset.
Yeah.
John has changed his name to Noah.
And his basement is the world?
The world, yeah.
And the ark is the podcast, because we're still, God has still allowed us to take two by two, two yep. of the Bradshaw Boys to continue the pod.
Two of the Bradshaw Boys. We could only take two. Two more episodes Harry Met Sally.
Yeah. And God, in his infinite grace and wisdom, said, "You are allowed to take two episodes, but only from the greatest romantic comedy of all time." And then also just two raccoons.
Yeah, it was two raccoons.
Or two cockroaches.
No, we didn't take the cockroaches this time. God offered the cockroaches. I was like, I will lose my faith if I take this.
I saw a tweet that said, like, it said, like, that nasty motherfucking Noah had to go around, take two cockroaches and put them on a boat. That fool nasty. And then below it said, okay, I was wrong. It was Noah. Doesn't change the fucking point. That's nasty.
That's funny.
I was like, that's some pretty, you know, crass Bible humor.
It's the best. Bible is, I don't know if it's a crass book, but yeah. It's definitely not a sanitized book.
Yeah, it shows all the aspects of humanity, including like some verse about a bunch of like bull semen.
Yeah,
which is my favorite verse.
Yeah,
totally. We'll read it.
That's also my favorite 80s stand-up comic, Bull Semen.
Bull Semen.
Yeah.
So what else is in the news?
Hey, give it up. Hey, everybody, give it up for your headline of Jim Jefferies. Bull Semen.
What else is in the vest, friends?
It was the worst of times. It was the best of friends. We are going in on our second episode of When Harry Met Sally. We finished the first one on the main feed, and now we're going to finish these next two right here.
Here's a question I have so far.
Please. We've watched like the first half hour ish.
Yeah.
We've pretty much kicked the first act. Yes. We're going to kick off the second act.
Why can't, mm-hmm. why is it so hard whenever something, like, what is it in our brains and in culture? Because we're just watching a movie,
right?
So it's just somebody can, we're not in the moment, we're not in that time. Mm-hmm. We're not going to the movie theater being like, we've just heard this is good. I'd seen it before a long time ago. It's much beloved. And then mm-hmm. you sit down. And so there's a lot of newcomers that maybe you're not a big film person, but you watch this and you're like, man, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know Meg Ryan's famous? Did you know this movie? Right. Why can't you repeat a formula?
Like this formula?
Like
the formula of When Harry Met Sally?
Yeah, because the repeated formulas, even with good characters, even with good writing, are never as good. And when you think about it, you're like, all a play is, or all a movie is, it's just people talking and mm-hmm. in different places.
Mm-hmm.
And
coming in hot.
Hold. We got to get another mic hooked up.
Dude.
John's mic's getting hooked up right now. Kevin is currently asking the question about why can't a repeated formula be good as it's repeated. But we're going to have to go back to the flood story we were talking about earlier. We were talking about
call me Noah. My new name's Noah, because of Ark. Here's my mic.
Here's your mic right here.
Sorry, I'm late, guys.
Does that need anything, Corey?
It actually sounds very good.
We had about eight inches of water in the basement this morning.
Jeez.
I've been working since about 8:30 and getting that cleaned up. So
dude, you've been
12 in flood control, and just got the second dehumidifier downstairs pumping. Lord.
Here, Johnny boy, scoot over.
And here I am, ready to talk when Harry met Sally.
Man.
Hey guys.
You,
hey everyone.
Yeah, you've definitely been working all day. I did talk to you early this morning when you said you that you guys happened.
If you guys can do a little more scoot, we can. Okay, here's this is
this
what,
the Patreon?
This is the Patreon. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because
here's what we do. Ready?
Coming in hot. What's up?
How are you doing?
It's a loaded question.
Feeling a little deflated, a little frustrated with life.
Yeah, it's been a lot, but you know what? Everyone goes through ups and downs, and in 6 months, I'll be fine. Like in terms of like, we'll laugh about today.
Yeah. Right.
That's all you got to focus on.
I was
on.
Like, are you sick? What's happening? Six months, are you going to be healed?
6 months, I'll be gone.
I know it's not true, but it is crazy. Whenever like things are going well, I'm like, just get, and I'm a generally positive person.
Yeah.
And I think like whenever something goes wrong, you just realize how delicate the balance of your life is, you know?
Last night you guys were like, I'm really impressed with like what you've done with the house. And I told Katie that at like midnight.
Oh no.
And she's like, I'm really proud. Like that makes me feel so good. We've put a lot of work into this house. 8 o'clock, Mickey and I went out to get a coffee, coming home, freaking what I want is a handle playing in the background.
What song is that?
Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just
what I got won't stop.
Yeah. Like, good day. Like,
good day. The birds are chirping. Come home. I'm like, something smells weird down. So you just go downstairs, 8 inches of water, just standing there, shit water in my basement. Yeah. So.
Damn.
We figured it out. We carried it out bucket by bucket. And here we are, recording pods, talking when Harry met Sally. I'm excited to watch the second part.
I guess that would go into a movie more about like married life, like parenthood. I think your situation happened in the movie Parenthood.
Yeah.
With Steve Martin. Not in When Harry Met Sally, but like this would be a thing where you're like, now we're together and we're the will they, won't they did. Mm-hmm. And now they live in a house and everything's perfect. But I mean, the basement's freaking flooded.
Like shitty things just happen every day. And you just got to like, when you're in the middle of it, you just got to be like, this sucks, but it's going to be over. And tomorrow it's like, it's going to be fine.
Do you know what was helpful? Because my motorcycle got stolen and,
that's
and
the thing we didn't want to talk about in our last thing
we didn't want to talk about.
We didn't yesterday. Yeah.
We actually didn't use that recording.
I was going to say that we didn't want to talk about it. We actually scrapped that.
Yeah.
Recording.
It's a ghost recording.
I think we're going to use it later.
Yeah.
You'll hear about it.
We'll use it for part three.
Yes. That is actually bonus. What we talked about.
But, I was super upset about it. And then it was cool because my mom sent me a text.
A new motorcycle?
A new motorcycle. No, she sent me a text that was actually not just like, oh, she sent me a super long text and she was like two things. One, she was like, years ago, your father like took a bunch of money we were supposed to put in our 401k and didn't because he heard like something was going to happen. And then like 6 months later, he realized like, that thing didn't happen. There was some crash that was supposed to happen and they lost like $40,000 that would have grown. And then they were like, for now on, like you tried to do the right thing and just got screwed from some dumb advice.
Right.
And then my mom said one time she downgraded her insurance and like the next day my sister totaled their car.
Ugh.
And it was like, it was actually nice to have those rather than like, we all go through to those two specific things. You're like, fuck. Okay. Yeah. Because when, you know, you're getting all the flooding on, you're just like, I should have never bought this fucking bullshit. Like, you know.
But that's just life. That's just like, life is incredible ups and incredible downs. And you just like, and then I think sometimes like real paradigm shifting things happen. And like, I think I had like a paradigm shifting thing happen this summer where it's like, things like this don't really matter in the long run. Like what matters is like the health of yourself and the loved ones. And like, if you can just like, if you're here doing it, fighting the fight, like, then there's joy in that.
The paradigm shifting thing was the announcement of season 2 of And Just Like That. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I thought it was either that or like you went to Burning Man.
Yeah. I was at Burning Man.
Yeah.
No. Burning Man sounds like my personal hell.
I have a very good friend who just went.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't know what to expect. And then it would actually be very fun if there was an episode of Unjust Like That with them at Burning Man, because I feel
JD
like
is at Burning Man.
I mean, Miranda. I feel like there is a thing
Miranda's wearing like chainmail with her tits hanging out.
Totally. Yeah. And that's where they should encounter Samantha again. They should
totally. She's there
at Burning Man, and yeah. She's just like running stuff.
Yeah, she's riding like a steampunk dildo bike or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally.
Every time she pedals, it bangs her, and she's just like, "I'm at Burning Man."
Ooh.
Well, my friends that were there, they did it for the long run, and they said the thing is, when you do it like the real Burning Man way, when you're there and like you set up a camp.
Oh, so there's like levels of people who do Burning Man now. There's
sort of.
Burning elitism has snuck into Burning
Man. Oh, it's
there. That's true. Yeah,
it's true. Well, she said she was like, they were there for a solid 10 plus days. They had a solar shower for the RV that they had, but they have generators and they don't want to run it that much. So basically she's like 10 days, 1 to 2 showers. But then the last weekend, all the LA Coachella people show up, and she's like, that's all the Instagram stuff you see when it's like these like beautiful, she was like, all these like beautiful girls whose boyfriends were taking like TikTok videos of them. And meanwhile, you look at everyone that's been there since the beginning and they just look like death.
Just dirty.
Yeah, totally.
They just look like Mad Max.
Yes. Yeah. She's like, yeah, they look like
spraying Thunderdome. Chrome in their face.
Yeah, totally.
So
witness me.
So this is my question.
Yeah.
And I want answers because it's an artistic question.
Okay.
How come things with such a simple, because there'd been many movies before this and it still holds up, but it almost simplified everything up to that point. How come you can't make great copies of such a great formula?
So you're saying there's never been one as good as this after it?
Not that there's not anything as good. Like, what is it about anything that once there's like a bar setting thing mm-hmm. that there's not like... Because I guess maybe in a way the answer is there is, and there are thousands of them and they're all just watered down versions. But it almost seems like if this is the formula, there would be like 5 or 6 movies that were just as good as this that were almost the same sort of formula.
But aren't there people who are like saying, what's the movie that like Casablanca is referenced a lot in this movie?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Aren't there people who grew up with that? Being it's like said, that
yeah.
that's set the bar and
yeah.
Grand Metallica is just a watered down version of that. And then aren't there people who, you know, read Shakespeare or whatever and who are like Casablanca yeah. is just a watered down version of that.
So I guess I would say the same thing about Casablanca, that it's like you watch it and it's still so good because it is way more simple than have you guys seen it?
Mm-hmm. No.
Like I guess it's just you watch a movie that's so iconic and you're like, man, there's not that much going on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause it's just good storytelling.
Yeah.
I will say this though about this movie. Cause you and I've seen it before, in full, John, like you've seen the first third so far, but mm-hmm. the other thing about this movie is like, there's not a lot going on, but one of the things that makes it so good is not just, it's a simple story. Like it is such New York City visual porn. So it's like, there's not that much going on. There's an incredible shot of them walking in autumn in New York mm-hmm. that would be a photograph that would hang somewhere.
Yeah.
And like, that's a simple conversation, but it looks amazing. Like the movie is creating an oeuvre of just romanticism everywhere. And
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh, and it's
oeuvre has been called.
Oeuvre has been dropped. And did I use that word correctly?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I thought I did.
I don't think you did, because oeuvre is like an overall. Is that what you mean? Yeah, you're creating an overall. You're creating an overall. Like, it's not one thing. It's the whole.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. But yeah, it's and I don't even know at the time if they knew they were doing that.
Yeah.
But I think it's simple, but it is actually complex, because then you've got this whole thing of all the interviews with the people in there. Like, there's a lot going on. It's not just a play with two people sitting on stage. Not that that is a bad thing. But the other thing I'll say is, you're like, why can't you,
mm-hmm.
if you have the standard, why can't you replicate it? As I don't know if it's absolutely true for this, but anytime you're just like, that's it, we're going to hit it, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just look at something that's good and say, let's make another one of those. Because you're not going to make, you're never going to make another one, Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
You see that anytime, or at least you might make that, But if your thing is to shoot for, we need to do that, you're not going to hit that. So you need to do your own thing.
Yeah.
You need to make, you could make something and be like, this is kind of our When Harry Met Sally. But if you're not starting with an original idea, then the best you're going to get is a copy of When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah. I think that's,
I think what we need to do is watch part two and then come back and continue this discussion. Cause this is a very interesting discussion, but we need to check out part two.
That is true. We left them at, they've basically come up to the point in their life where it's been like 10 years and they're finally going out to dinner, right?
Yeah.
That's where
they just went out to dinner.
And now they're walking.
And now they're doing post dinner walk.
The park. Yeah.
Right. All right. Okay. Let's go watch it.
When Harry Met Sally, directed by Rob Reiner. In 1977, college graduates Harry Burns, played by Billy Crystal, and Sally Albright, played by Meg Ryan, share a contentious car ride from Chicago to New York, during which they argue about whether men and women can ever truly be strictly platonic friends. 10 years later, Harry and Sally meet again at a bookstore, and in the company of their respective best friends, Jess, played by Bruno Kirby, and Marie, played by Carrie Fisher, attempt to stay friends without sex becoming an issue between them. And now, back to the boy.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
And we're back. Ooh. Oh my gosh, things are getting spicy.
Dang.
Still tight, still taut.
Still will they, won't they?
Still will they, won't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, you
I don't know. I honestly don't know what's going to happen. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
One of the things that you said last time, John, I think one of the things that it tapped into and is tapping into is like, I feel like at this point you are right. There's the world war, like the post, like marriage and breakups and all these things are, we're in a different spot at this point. And now I feel like at this point, if it was this day and age, they would just have just been like, yeah, we had sex years ago. Like there's still like a conservative, not politically, but like there's still a conservative element to this movie that is just like very clearly defined. Like there's friends, there's wives,
it's
there's
still
girlfriends.
Very old fashioned.
Yes.
Even though it's progress, I imagine for being an 89 film, it was incredibly progressive.
Yeah.
They're talking about orgasm, by the way. Great scene.
Yeah.
Great
Thank
scene,
you for
right?
that.
Yeah.
That's this is everyone knows this, but you well, you don't know. But it's big.
Having.
But that's Rob Reiner's mom.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It says that line.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'll have what she's having. Also, peppers on my paprikash. They
you
do
were
say
right.
That.
They do
I was
say that.
Right.
You were absolutely right.
In the mat? Are they in the mat when they say
that? Yeah.
Are they in the Temple of Dunder?
Is that what it is?
Well, it is. I learned called? That from that book right there, Empire of Pain.
Huh. No way.
Or Dunbar, Dunbar, yeah.
Dunder, Mifflin.
Paper, paper, purpose, and paper.
Can we break it down real quick?
Yeah.
Paper people, paper person.
Is that from The Office?
I forgot. Yeah, they it's a little ditty that they sing.
It's funny. I clearly don't remember ditties because I really yesterday you kept talking about. Like the last time we watched, kept talking about peppers in my pepper couch or whatever. And I was like, they don't say that in this movie, John. I really went hard on you.
That's all I knew. Okay. What happened? Basically, a friendship develops between Harry and Sally.
Mm-hmm.
He really likes her. He likes that he can be honest with her and open with her. They are chatting when they go to, you know, there's a nice split screen where they're watching movies and chatting. And, I'm trying to think all what happens. Like she, it's just like a lot of like friendship.
Yeah. They chat more. They have, I mean, the one scene that was kind of iconic to me is when they're like, can you fall asleep? I can't fall asleep.
Yeah.
And they watch, is it Casablanca?
Casablanca.
Yeah.
They watch Casablanca in a split screen
mm-hmm.
and he's talking about how he totally misses his fiance or
his ex-wife. Yeah.
And she doesn't miss her boyfriend. And they're talking about like, you know, which side of the bed you still sleep on.
It feels weird when my leg drifts over and she's not there.
Yeah, totally. And then
also he remembers their original Casablanca conversation and then they're watching it. And he remembers, like you said, that she's like, I wouldn't have said that. He's like,
yeah.
Which is interesting that he remembers that.
Yeah.
Yes, totally.
And then they're like just going all over like super iconic New York scenes.
Yeah.
That's in Katz's Deli where she's pretending to have an orgasm, right?
Yep.
And then they're in Central Park. They're in the Met. They're just like becoming friends. And he talks to his friend. He's like his male friend. And he's like, I really love this because like we're good friends. I can tell her anything and I don't want to sleep with her. And so like, it's great.
And also the guys were at the football game and then they're at the batting cages.
It's what guys do.
It's what guys do.
Football games, batting cages, titty bars.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. I hope that in the third time we watch this, they're just at a strip club just having a conversation about sex.
Do you guys remember that scene from Step Brothers where he's like talking to his dad, not Will Ferrell, but the other guy. And he's like, I'm worried if she comes here, she can't handle all the guy stuff we do. Shitting with the doors open, going on riverboat gambling tours. He's like, we've never done any of that stuff.
That's so good.
Anyway,
I've said this. I don't think I've said it on the pod, but I've said it many times. My favorite quote ever from any movie is Will Ferrell in Talladega Nights, where he's like really cocky and he's like, "There's no reason with modern technology and my level of income that I couldn't make it to $1.35, $1.40, like age.
What? Yeah.
And then he's like, did you hear in Russia they put a rat's heart in a man? They really? Did he live? Oh, no, he didn't live. It's just crazy we're trying stuff like that.
That's great.
And then I think like the big scene, one of the big scenes that happened was they are setting their friends up on a date. Mm-hmm. He's setting his friend who I'm not sure if we
Carrie know. Fisher.
Carrie Fisher. He's setting his friend up with Carrie Fisher. And no, Harry is getting set up with Carrie.
Harry's getting set up with Marie, which is Carrie Fisher's character.
Yes. And Sally is getting set up with Batting Cage Boy.
Jess. His name is Bruno Kirby is the actor.
I'm Beaker.
Batting Cage Bobby.
Batting Cage Bobby. Or Jess.
And they go out and Carrie Fisher and Jess really hit it off. And there's that scene where they're like, is it okay if I go? Like, if I ask him, he's like, wait a week. She's sensitive. And
yeah.
Jess hears the same thing. And then he's like, yeah, I'm going to get out of here. All right. Mind if I come? See ya.
Great start of a connection too. When she's like, I read in a magazine. He's like, I wrote that.
I know.
Yeah. Like.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Really great.
And then he's like, oh yeah, Sally, right for New York Magazine. And they just blow by it. They don't say anything.
And the quote is a good quote, which is, I'm mixing the decades up, but it's like theater in the 40s is what restaurants are now.
Yes.
And, totally. And it's interesting. I mean, Corey, you're pretty big foodie, but I do feel like, I had a roommate a few years ago, Tim, and he worked for the big restaurateur for like Gramercy.
Balthazar. Oh,
Bobby Flay.
Not Bobby Flay.
No, it's a Union Square. Union Square Park or Union Square hospitality restaurant.
I think Guy Fieri.
Yeah, he works for Guy Fieri. And
how'd you say it?
Guy Fieri. I stuttered over my words. That's why I said it wrong.
You say great. I say Guy Fieri.
Fieri?
Fieri.
Oh, I love the Fieri.
You know, it's not his real last name.
What is his last name?
It's like
Guy Tompkins.
It's something like that, yeah.
But he was the one when a restaurant closed, I was like, oh man, he's like, restaurants now. He's like, they're like, he compared them to Broadway shows.
Mm.
And he said, it's like, you know, it's around for 8 years. You got to go there, but they're not meant to last for like a lot of restaurants aren't meant to last forever. And at the time I was like, I was 24. So I'd never had enough money to go to a restaurant.
Right. But he was like, this restaurant, you know, like, it's going to be like this one's about AIDS. It's like Rent.
Yeah.
This whole restaurant is AIDS themed.
Yeah. Yeah. This one.
Try the AZT dessert.
Yeah. This one is just Wizard of Oz. It's just, you have to, all of the servers are wearing green paint.
This one is all the waiters walk out with their penises in your face. And it's also about AIDS. It's based on Angels in America. but it's also about AIDS.
And then there's also. What was it called? Heart. It's something Heart. It's on HBO.
Crazy Heart?
No, I forget. It's also about AIDS. There was a lot of theater about AIDS in the 80s because it happened.
Gee, I wonder why.
Giant AIDS crisis.
Yeah, yeah. In New York. Yeah, so
there's a monstrous AIDS crisis that impacted that community particularly.
Exactly. So they wrote some good stuff about it. And there should be more restaurants about it. That's what we're saying. There should be more restaurants about it.
There should be, totally.
So
his name is Guy Fieri. His name is Guy Ramsay Fieri.
Ramsay?
Yeah, like kind of like Gordon Ramsay.
Dude.
Guy Ramsay Fieri. Anyway.
So yeah.
Good quote though.
Good quote.
Because also at that time in New York, that was when like fine dining was like it was like theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like now
it's just a bunch of like losers in Bushwick, you know, like, oh, Robin, if you listen to 100 Gex, boo.
I love that you're wearing a Pizza Moto shirt.
I know, wearing a Pizza Moto shirt.
It's like the most hipster pizza place.
Went ever. And saw my friend today who runs a restaurant pop up. Yeah, totally. I love it.
I feel like it's like kind of a New York thing to trash the new New York and compare it to the old New York.
100%.
Totally.
Like every generation of New York does that. They're like, there's a scene in Sex and the City, they do that.
Yeah.
This is like so different. New York's becoming so whitewashed. Like, and we do that now too. Of like, when we moved here 15, 20 years ago, this is when New York was like, so that's a very common thing. And you're right. I mean, New York does change constantly.
Yeah. Turnover. And
have you ever read the Joan Didion? Have you ever read Goodbye to All That? The Joan Didion.
Yeah.
Essay on New York.
That's great.
She says, you know, it's entirely too long to stay. It's entirely possible to stay too long at the party.
Ooh.
She talks about how like she just wanted
deep.
To. I know, me too. And she wanted to just keep going to everything. And then one day, and her friend was like, she was like, there's gonna be so many new people at this party. And he just laughed and laughed and laughed. And then he got there, and she said he'd slept with half of the women and like been in business with a third of the men. And he like, and he just like, you know, hung out and talked, and he was like, I already know all these people. And then she said there was like one day where someone invited her something, and she was like, it clicked. And she was like, I'd stayed too long.
Mm.
And then she said like by the next year she was gone.
Where'd she go?
I think they California. Went to California.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then she came back.
She did come back.
I feel like,
and she did a play about AIDS.
Was it about AIDS? It's about her husband.
She secretly had AIDS during the play.
But
then she got cured.
She looked pretty gaunt by the end of her life.
Right? It was Magic Johnson versus Bird.
Yeah.
wasn't that a real Broadway play?
That was a Broadway play? Johnson versus Bird?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a Nintendo game.
No, they did a Broadway play about it.
I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm
gonna look it up.
How old are they at this point?
It's still 10 years later. So they're 30. They're 31. No, they're like 36.
Okay.
She said, wait, have we had a, she was 31 when she talks about her husband and her boyfriend and her breaking up is 31.
Okay.
And that's at the boathouse in the first scene. And so.
So it's 5 years after that?
Is it 5 years after that when she sees him? I thought that she sees him pretty soon after the boathouse.
We're just right here. She's 31.
Yeah, I think she's still 31 right now, or she's maybe like 32. I don't think we've had another 5-year break.
It was called Magic Bird.
It was an actual Broadway show?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow. That
sounds
incredible.
Like a hit.
It's pretty amazing.
Well, they're just more successful than most people. The apartment that they're setting up now is fucking huge.
You know, yeah, what part of it is, and I don't want to get us too far off of it. I mean, you're right. Yes. And there's a little bit where when you look at Friends, it's, yeah, like, no one ever lived in that apartment. But I kind of feel like, I don't know if this is true, but I thought this today. Like, back then, did people just try to get it together way more? I mean, there is a thing where, like, after the housing crisis, so many more millennials, like, lived at home till they were later in life. But, like, I was seeing a thing today on the subway, and it was an ad about it was an ad about finding roommates. And then it was like, and they have all these like little like kitschy slogans, and one of them was something like, finally finding the right apartment and adulting. And I was like, there's kind of this thing of, it's like, I'm adulting, I got rug. And it's like, back then it was like, you stop adulting, I freaking hate that word, but it's like,
yeah,
you stop adulting at like 21,
yeah,
because you get your life together now, you know. I mean, like,
I think it's
it takes a lot longer, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's partially that it's
someone who doesn't have their life together.
I think it's also partially just, it's a movie, so
yeah,
they're gonna have big apartments. You know what I mean? Like, we're gonna, because, so I think it's a combination of both, but it's like that apartment that, like, what does she do again?
She's a writer. She's Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah.
I mean, also it's the same thing with Carrie and Big going to lunch at 11 Madison.
Is that her apartment or his apartment that they're getting the rug out for?
I think his.
That's just massive. No,
I think that they're working. I think they put rugs down. I think that's them at work.
Really?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
I think it's one of their apartments.
Oh, okay. It's just,
I
like,
think at first I was like,
so luxurious.
Yeah.
It is. It is very,
and I think
giant
that's,
loft.
I think that's just like, we're making a Hollywood movie, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely more interesting to watch people, unless the movie's about the struggle. It's, yeah, it's like more interesting to watch like young, successful people. Even like,
even if they're not successful, it's still more interesting to watch them have a badass apartment.
That's
Friends,
totally true.
Totally. How I Met Your Mother. Like,
yeah,
no one can afford those apartments.
Yeah,
totally.
We're all saying the same thing. I'm just saying this one is not even like, it's like a step beyond that. It's not just like, look, we're five people and this apartment's way nicer. This is like
pretty crazy.
An insane.
This is like what
apartment.
This is shifting topic, and I don't really know if there's conversation to glean from this, but I find it, I need to say it. Not a lot happened in the last 30 minutes of the movie. Like, in other second acts that we've seen, like, the characters are starting to unravel, right?
Mm-hmm.
They meet and like the drama starts to set in, whether it's like Princess Bride, Clueless, like You Got Mail, like there's like a big dramatic thing that happens in the second act that gets resolved in the third. And it feels like this hasn't had any of that. And for a surprisingly small amount of stuff to have had occurred, I found myself really enjoying the movie,
the
ride, and the experience.
Yes.
Well, it's like, I know we talked a little bit about this at the header, but like, they really bottled something that was really magical that like I've never experienced before in a romantic comedy.
I think the dream, because I think it's what Corey said. I think the dream is like, if you could just almost with anything that is not like fantasy or like action, right? But I think a dream for like a lot of filmmakers or storytellers would be like, what if I could just show what real life is like? But then it's like, that's fucking boring.
Right.
And so this, I think what they captured, because one, actually a huge thing happened, which I'll say what it is. The biggest thing happened on the edge of your seat. But they do it by just showing like how fucking life works. There's like, life isn't fucking, it's just talking on the phone with your friends. And then you're just like, ah, fuck, I'm sad. Oh, I'm happy. But through that, in 30 minutes, they went from at the beginning fighting and not remembering each other. And at the New Year's party, they're like
dancing face to face.
And they're like, we like each other, but neither have admitted it yet.
There's a moment where they're dancing. And then I don't know if I don't know if it's on his face or her face, but it's a moment where you that you notice that.
I think it's on his.
I think he popped a boner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They show him. He looks like the emperor from Little Mermaid, or the priest from Little Mermaid.
Okay, get that close. Yeah, but you're right. That's a huge thing where they can't admit it.
Yeah, and so I think like
why I want to unpack that. Why? I mean, I know that they've been having the conversation. It's moving. It's more interesting. But like, why do you think psychologically neither of them can or will admit their feelings to one another?
Because the longer, that's like the central question of the movie.
30 minutes left in the movie.
Yeah.
No, but like,
what are we going to do?
I'm talking about them as people.
I think because the longer that you are, the longer you know someone, the higher the stakes are to shift your relationship, the nature of your relationship. That it's just like, okay, whatever, this online date didn't work out. Or even back then, like I got set up with a friend. Oh, this guy from work, like I have to be in a few offices. But the more ties you have to a person, like the longer you're dating someone, the harder your breakup is going to be. The longer you're friends with someone, the more it's just like, if I transition this, I'm risking fucking my life up in a way that is going to cause, like, then this person's going to be at the same parties.
Yeah.
Right.
Then everyone's going to be asking me about Sally. And I already said, I don't date friends. Then I did. And look what happened. So it's like,
yeah,
I think it's just life disruption. But then if you don't take those chances, which I think they'll set this up. I honestly don't remember how it ends, but I do believe it's romantically, but
yeah.
But if you don't take those risks, then you risk just never like kind of the best partners. Like you're like there, I'm never going to be with the people I'm most suited to be with.
Yeah.
That's like a modern problem that I think people have, that it's like, okay, I'm going to cut off the majority of the people that I have the most compatibility with, because I'm not attracted to them because I've known them for 20 years or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I think it's high risk.
I agree. I think it's high risk. You're looking at possibly losing a friend, like who he finally is, like, not only would he be wrong because he's, you know, like, oh, I said men and women couldn't be friends, but they've become actual friends. And so he's afraid that, you know, they would, he's maybe afraid they would lose.
But he's also right, because I imagine he still wants to sleep with her.
I'm sure he does.
That's what his nice shaven face and poofed hair said at the New Year's party.
And if
you can read between the lines.
Yeah.
And another, the boner in his pants.
Yeah. He's like, why wouldn't I? It's Meg Ryan.
Do you guys remember this? Read between the lines. What was is this one?
I think it's that. Read between the lines.
Flicks someone off.
Yeah.
What if he just does that with his boner in his pants?
Read between the lines. What do you mean? My boner.
What?
I'm physically aroused right now. Have you guys ever had a long friendship get ruined because you or a friend made it romantic?
Yeah, I fucked Olivia last year after she'd been married to my best friend Rich for 16.
There you go.
No, it was funny because me and Olivia, who's guest of the pod, she was on
the one where she gave birth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great episode. And she.
Episode that Katie went into labor while watching.
That's crazy.
Which I don't think we've ever talked in the pod. We need to tell the story.
We did.
We did that.
Because we had Katie on, right?
Mm. We talked about it finally one time. Yeah.
But Olivia and I became friends before her and Rich even met. And me and her used to just like sleep in the same bed. And nothing ever happened. Like she was always just a friend, but also that was almost like before, like, cause Olivia's pretty. I'm not attracted to her cause she's my friend Olivia of a long time.
Right.
But I'm like, she's pretty. So I'm watching this. I'm like, that's really funny. Olivia and I never fought. We just like were automatically friends, and it was never.
You were like brother, sister.
Yeah. And it was never even close to a thing. And we used to like sleep in the same bed, and it was like not weird. But I think about that now and I'm like, that is weird. That would never happen now. Even if it was like a potential for friendship, I'd be like, we'll be friends. And like, we're going to fool around. Why are you in my bed?
So you never, there was never a thing there.
No.
Okay.
And
how many serious conversations do you think Rich had with Olivia? And she's like, just tell me, you can be honest.
Be honest.
But was there ever anything there?
Anything. I mean, it's honestly just weird to think about because it's just another part of life. I don't know. Like I could imagine, this is weird to say, but I guess I could imagine if we were still single after all these years, maybe it would be like turn into that. But
yeah.
Her and Rich were just met and they've been together for 16 years. But, yeah, that was just the first, that's the close. She's like my closest friend. Who's yeah. a girl, certainly.
And to pay you back, Rich, because he was jealous that you slept in the same bed as his wife.
Yeah.
He made you film his penis for 3 years.
For 3 years on a Broadway stage, on an off Broadway stage.
There you go.
He's
like, you will look at my junk on a 10-foot screen.
You sleep with my wife before I ever knew you. It was literally just sleeping. But yeah, I think that would be the only thing I can compare it to.
Well, I don't know, maybe something will happen. Yeah. Story's not over yet.
Let's call her. Hey, Olivia, if Rich dies,
no,
should we?
Even if Rich is alive,
yeah.
You think you're just gonna bail? You think you're gonna bail on that?
Yeah.
Let me know.
Yeah, just letting you know, I'm single.
I asked a good friend out one time, and she turned me down. And then some of it was like, well, maybe there was like timing issues with like what was going on in her life. Like she was about to leave. So there was a thing where it was like, that could have been weird. And then it was basically like, hey, maybe at another time in our lives, I would have said, sure. But like things are about to change. And also like we're friends. And then that wasn't weird. We're still really good friends. But there was one, it wasn't a long, long, long time friend, but it was someone who became a friend. We got to be like pretty tight and then it wasn't romantic and we chose to stay friends and then we took a shot at it and then it didn't work out. And you know, still like friendly and would like
consider name names. No, I'm kidding. I'm
just, it was Katie, but yeah, it changes it for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to, I think when you're adults and especially when you move on to other people and stuff like that, it's definitely got to change it. So yeah, I think that I've experienced that not to this level, not like this person was my best friend like you and Olivia. And then we went for it. Not like that, but you know, still a friendship.
Yeah. Have you seen some of those tweets that are just like a regular sentence, but they have like 70,000 retweets?
Yeah.
There's like lots
of them. They're all tweeted by Donald Trump.
Yeah. No, they were just like, it'll be someone with 1,000.
What a shame.
A shame. A fat pig.
Tragedy.
But have you ever like been so in love with a person that you kept them as a friend just so you could keep them in your life? And it had tons of retweets. And that was somebody that was like, you're in love with the person. Mm-hmm. And you know it'll never happen. And so you just keep them as friends. And so I guess it was like an unrequited love thing. But that's different than this. But I was like, oh, that's interesting that it's that resonant.
Do you know what whoever tweeted that doesn't believe in?
What?
Life after love after love.
Yeah. They do not believe. They do not believe like Cher does.
Yeah.
I watched a movie.
I can feel something is happening. Nothing is strong enough. No,
I didn't know where you're going because I didn't recognize the song the way you were singing it.
Yeah, I was crooning it.
I watched a movie. Have you guys seen Cha Cha Real Smooth?
No,
big Sundance movie last year. I don't know. I don't want to ruin the ending, but it has a. But there is a. There is a. There.
Beep.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I'll do my best to not fully give it away, but I'll talk about.
You have 15 seconds, and then they can just press the button once.
Yeah.
Or twice if it's 30 seconds.
Yeah. Everyone dies. No, but there is a talk of like, what if something is so right? And, you know, like it happens all the time in like sitcoms and movies and stuff, you know, where it's like, this is so right. We've got to do it. And someone's like, do you? Is that just passion? Like maybe this, it's basically a lot of the movie talks about soulmates and is there just one, and also is like, are there different soulmates for different times, but do you have to end up with that person?
Yeah.
And it's like, and what if you have one and they leave And then who do you end up with? And like, do you always go with a person that you're like, I love this person so much? You know, in that tweet, it's like, well, don't keep him as a friend. Take him as like your lover. And it's like, or are there other reasons you take someone as a lover, but you do keep that person?
You love someone, you got to let him go. I mean, that's true with a lot of things.
As it is true. Yeah.
Also, I guess what it's leading to, because I'm, and I think you're right. I think it's just hard. It's basically the double-edged sword of modern life, that it's like, hey, if you want to break down certain roles in society, like you get a lot more choice, and it also makes things a lot more complicated, you know, because there's a lot more options people have now, you know, like a lot of these characters wouldn't even be divorced, or they wouldn't even be, I mean, and that's also just living in a city where everyone's there for different reasons. You've left home. It's hard to find sometimes the right track of a person that you're going to track with for a long time. So that's why it's like they keep on running back into each other, because all these different chapters of their life bring them away and then back around to one another.
Yeah.
And I think that's like a kind of it's a modern conundrum. It's not like 100 years ago people were just on farms, but you had more closer units of like church and school and towns. People travel more, go to different places more.
And there's the internet.
In
touch with anyone.
Yeah. And you can also find people that way, you know?
Yeah.
Like totally. You, not even dating partners, but like new things that it's like, oh my gosh, we have communities that,
yeah,
you know, like all of the people that have met as listeners of this podcast that are not married. You're like, I listen to Bradshaw Boys. So do I.
Yeah. All the taters.
Yeah.
All the Pop-Tarts. I mean, but you're a big Reddit person. And like, I had never really gotten into it. Since you told me at Reddit, I've never had a lasting, like, I met this person because of Reddit. But there are Reddit communities that are part of their like credit card ones where I've been like, I can't figure this out. And someone's like, yeah, you're doing it wrong. Do this. And I'm like, thank you so much, man. Yeah. And like, there is a way to just pursue that closeness with people that it's less that you just run into someone on the street in New York like that. That does happen, but you can get that closeness in so many other ways. And I think it's changed relationships since this movie was made, which is why I think that you do end up having probably movies now that do have stuff to do with, you know, people like online stuff, you know?
Yeah, totally. Do you want to hear something?
I would love to.
In addition, the film helped popularize many ideas about love that have become household concepts now, such as the high maintenance girlfriend. That's one of the things he says.
Talks about,
like, you're the worst version of high maintenance.
Because you don't know you are.
Because you think you're low maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then also, this is interesting. I think we should talk more about it. Ready? The transitional person, which it's like having, that's crazy if this popularized it, but it's like, is this person going to be a real person in my life? Or is this like, not a rebound, but it's like, you know, okay, like this will be, you know, 1 year with this person, transition into this next thing.
Wow.
I thought you were going to talk about something completely different when you first said that.
Yeah.
Thought you were going to go on another Che Diaz rant.
There's a lot of transitional people now.
I know Che is not transitioning. I know that Che is non-binary. Just to throw that out there.
NB.
I want to talk about Harry nagging Sally.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He like that's been popularized nowadays with like the big hat, the big felt hats, and the books. About,
you're talking about like about pickup artist
shit.
Oh, okay.
He like comes at her pretty hard. He like, I don't know if I like him as a person.
I agree. As I've watched it, and I think some of this is the way we even talked about how movies were cast and stuff back then. Obviously, like he's a big.
Someone's got to cut Sally down to size.
It's true.
What has she done?
Nothing. Wrong. I was just joking.
You're
gonna order a salad like that? Fucking get ready. We're taking you down, Sally.
I wish they would address his microphone head. Stop looking at his microphone hair.
It's insane.
It's just like, it's, I want to cut a thing together of that dinner scene where, you know, they're talking about, where the setup.
Yeah.
And there's a perfect shot of him where it's just like the poof like thing. And then I want to like cut back to them. And the next time you cut back to him, it's just a microphone with the poof on it.
Do you think it's dinner? Do you think he wanted to look like that? Cause he got into stand up. That's how he got in everything. And he was like, I had so much love for the craft. I wanted to look.
I wanted an homage to the mic.
Is there a Tumblr for like '90s poof hair?
I mean, should be. It's not '90s. It's '80s poof hair for sure.
'80s puff hair. Like you see a lot of women with puff hair. I want like men puff hair.
It's a weird thing. It's a weird haircut to describe.
It's so hard.
I do agree that while you're looking that up, I agree with what you're saying. He is kind of smarmy in this movie. He's smarmy and he does a lot of cutting her down to size. And there's definitely, and I think it might kind of play to their relationship, especially when you see the interviews with the older people, but it does kind of play to this. He, I don't know if he's less mature, but there's an almost an insecurity and kind of him running around like being a boy and then her kind of having to rein him in a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's a thing where it's like, he's just a boy and she's a real woman. Like he is definitely an adult male, but there is something where I agree with you.
He's like definitely negs.
He negs.
Is that, I haven't seen a ton of stuff that Billy Crystal's in.
And no.
Like kind of his personality.
No, like, I think he.
Kind of negging his wife in Princess Bride.
That's true.
Yeah.
Have fun storming the castle.
I think, I'm trying to think what else he was in at this point, but I think he usually is. I wonder if that, because they spend so much time crafting these characters, if you need, like, maybe now, maybe a modern character like that wouldn't hold up as much because it would be like, guys don't need to do this or whatever, but.
I'm Ansel Elgort. I don't do that.
He definitely.
I respect him. He did. Yeah, he did.
but I wonder if it's like that, the journey that he is on is a journey towards like all of this is coming from insecurity.
Yes.
And coming like at first it's like, oh, you're cool. And then he's like, my wife left, cheated on me. And this like things, he's losing his security and she's gaining her and she's losing her
control.
And so it's like, I totally agree with you, but people wouldn't stop the, people wouldn't be talking in between these different things. And by the end, you'd be like, when we watch this last half hour, we'll be like, oh, he finally matured.
Yeah.
You know, but there wouldn't be a popcorn break to talk for an hour and be like, is it me or is this guy an asshole? You'd feel totally. That. And then the resolution would happen in the end and you'd be like, I love him. But then you rewatch it. And you're like, oh yeah, he was an asshole that whole time. You know?
I also wonder if some of it, I know Nora Ephron wrote it, but I know they developed at least the ideas and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, I wonder if some of that comes from Rob Reiner, like Jewish comedy upper, like his, cause you know, his dad was Mel Brooks's writing partner for a while. Carl Reiner.
Yeah.
Was, and so much of that comedy is like, well, it's like that whole, the shortest joke ever written. It's like, take my wife, please.
Yeah.
And it's like that, like a lot of the old people interviews kind of have that thing where it's like
vaudevillian.
I was doing this. He was doing this.
Yeah.
It's like, so there's a little of that back and forth that seems like it's kind of written like, well, they pick at each other, but they love each other. Cause that's what you do. You love.
That's a great point. It does very much feel like.
Yeah. That. And I mean, Rob Reiner, you know, is raised with that. Yeah. So.
It's just insane how watch it, especially the second act, all their different talking stuff. It's just insane how much this movie is Annie Hall in Manhattan.
Yeah.
It is. The split screen thing is insane. And then literally just like walking around talking in central. But it's cool because it has a confidence that it's like, because I think they must have made him purposely cool because he couldn't be neurotic or else you're just like, that's what he
owned. That's what he owned. Yeah.
So I feel like they purposely had to be like, sports and like and not
batting cages
stuff that is not going to just be like I'm reading a book because Billy Crystal's Jewish right and then Meg Ryan is dressing she's dressing like Diane Keaton in Annie Hall.
She is very much that's very much a Billy
I have a question.
Diane Keaton,
you have to cast this movie today.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about a remake. I'm talking about the exact same movie, but you have to cast it with two different modern actors. Who do you put in there?
I would say Olivia Rodrigo and 6ix9ine. That's what I would put on there. Because she's like, you know, kind of dangerous and hot.
And she's lit.
Yo, man.
And the movie would be fire.
That's kind of my point you guys made for me jokingly. It's like that the wholesome, like, lovable.
I mean, I kind of feel like it's like Gosling and Emma Stone and Crazy Stupid Love. But they don't have the same. It's not as iconic that way. And that goes back to your thing earlier. It's like, how do you remake this?
Well, we don't. I mean.
Was Billy Crystal a big star already at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'd been on SNL like for a season. He'd already done like big movies and stuff.
He was a big
stand up.
So it'd be the similar to using like Pete Davidson.
No, but it's not. I also think stars were kind of different then.
Well, but they're. It's not Pete Davidson, but like it would have to be.
Is it like Sudeikis, but bigger than that?
Yeah, because it would have to be someone who's a little doofier and a little like the people that you find out like girls like love him and guys are like, what? And they're like, he's so cute and so smart.
Right.
Timothee Chalamet?
See, I was thinking like it would be Timothee Chalamet,
but he's not heartthrob.
He's
talk to any female.
I mean, Crystal. Billy Crystal's not a heartthrob.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally, totally.
That's why I'm saying if you're trying to match,
we came at you really hard.
You did, and I was like, listen,
I'm like, he's the only heartthrob.
No, I know he's a heartthrob. He also looks and dresses like his sister.
Yeah,
he's a heart. Timothee Chalamet is a heartthrob. He's a JD heartthrob.
I'll say this: I am the biggest Call Me by Your Name fan.
You do it every night.
Yeah.
I do.
You peach yourself every single night.
All the way. By the way, I watched 10 minutes of House of Hammer and I was like, this shit is so fucked up. House of Hammer, well worth watching.
Really?
It's way more
Hammer?
It's just about Army Hammer's family. It's crazy.
Oh, dude. But is MC Hammer
in MC it? Hammer's in it just being like, as someone with
too
last
legit,
name, that shit
too legit to
was
quit.
Crazy. But yeah, you're right. He's not a heartthrob and he is from... Yeah, he's just from like a different, I don't know if that type exists anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely like I'm trying to look at movies wise what
it's
was
coming back
up
then.
To this. Because of the hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. The poof is coming back.
But how does a type like that have an Instagram? Like
that's
in order,
but that's
in order
one
to be like a celebrity, you have to have like an Instagram. And Billy Crystal in the 80s would not have an interesting answer.
Well, not just that, but it's like owning. He has different values or different reasons of why he'd be a star. That's like not that good looking. It's not this, not this, but it's like, damn, that like quick wit.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anyone can think of what we're trying to think of. Who would that be? Because I think we could land on a Meg Ryan replacement more easily than we could a Billy Crystal replacement.
Yeah. I mean, like he had done before this, he's in Spinal Tap briefly, but he'd been on a lot of TV shows. He was on the TV show Soap. And then he was in The Princess Bride. And then he was the lead in Throw Mama from the Train with Danny DeVito. And then he was in a movie called Abby, and then he did this. So, you know, he's already like, I remember the trailer for Throw Mama from the Train, like as, you know, in the 80s. And so, I mean,
he was a superstar
at this point, but you're right. It wasn't like a heartthrob.
Yeah.
It does feel like a different era. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It
was. This also wasn't supposed to be a $100 million movie. It was
it's true.
It was this like the budget's like $17 million. So I think they were not trying to make the biggest, like they weren't trying to make it. They were trying to make like, oh, like let's make a solid.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why the movie is smaller, but it does feel epic that it's still a Hollywood movie, but they certainly weren't setting out to make once in a generation movie.
Okay. Do you want to, before we wrap up with some philosophical questions, do you want to do a little trivia
time?
The show? Okay. You were talking about Magic Bird earlier.
Yeah.
We were talking about all the things. Did you know that there was a stage production of When Harry Met Sally in 2004? The film was adapted for the stage in a production starring, who do you think? It's going to be a tough one to get.
Okay. Can you give us any hints at all?
They were both TV stars in the 90s and early 2000s. One of them is
Mark
still
Paul Gossier.
Doing... No, but you're not far off.
Dustin Diamond.
No. That'd be great if it was Screech.
Who was it?
Luke Perry.
Okay.
And then the woman, Sally, sitcom star, still doing stuff.
Boner from Growing Pains?
Yep, that's it. No, you actually mentioned the sitcom earlier in this podcast.
Corny Cox?
No, you're on the same track of when you mentioned it.
What else did I say?
Think of other TV shows where people. Yep.
I don't know any of the actors from.
You got it.
Hannigan.
Yep. Allison Hannigan.
Red
hair.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay. So let's.
Her and Luke Perry.
Was it a success?
It doesn't say. It just says that it existed.
Okay.
Also, do you have
Can
some?
You compare it to a restaurant from the 2000s?
Her role or just the movie?
Well, if Broadway shows are like restaurants,
what was it like?
Yeah.
Man, that's tough. Cause I'm trying to think of a chain. Remember Houston's, the chain Houston's? No. I think it was like Houston's, not Houston's, Houston's. There used to be one in New York close to Houston, but it's called Houston's.
Really confusing.
Yeah.
Man, I wonder how it would work as a play if it was, it's not going to be better, but going to a play, like, how do you do that without it being like playing the hits?
Yeah, I know.
You know, cause it's like, they're going to like bring the sandwiches onto the stage and they're eating the sandwiches. It's like, okay, we're going to
do the scene. Yeah. I think it is kind of just a play the hits thing.
Yeah.
Do you think they all turn to the audience and everyone collectively in the audience goes, I'll have what she's having.
I almost said that's what she said.
All right, hold on.
One more trivia question. We got to wrap it up.
All right, cool. The role of Harry was offered to a lot of people.
I know one.
Who?
Mike Tyson.
I know one. I'm 100% positive that I know one of them, and he is a puff. He's a power puff boy.
Who is it?
Albert Brooks.
That is correct.
Because
he is this character.
It's like Albert Brooks. It's Woody Allen, Albert Brooks, Billy Crystal. Like, they're all that same, yes. Like New York Jewish.
Yep.
But dude, Albert Brooks would be great for this.
He turned it down because he said this was too reminiscent of Woody Allen's work.
Wow. See, that's.
And then the other ones it was offered to was Richard Dreyfuss.
Okay.
Michael Keaton.
Michael
totally
Keaton would
have been great.
Would crush this.
And then of course,
Tom Hanks.
Hanks.
And
Hanks was offered the role.
And they all turned it down.
They all turned it down.
Wow. And Hanks and Nora Ephron, John, I don't know if you remember this, but Nora Ephron did You've Got Mail.
Okay.
So it's like, that was her chance at doing When Harry Met Sally too.
We'll have more trivia. I got a couple other ones. We'll do more next episode.
Dude, one more. One more.
Ben Weber.
Huh?
Like, I'll flash this real quick.
Dude, yeah. Ben Weber, if he had shorter hair, would have a puff.
We got to get him to do a puff.
I bet Ben Weber would do a puff for
microphone head.
Yeah.
Can we do one more question?
Yeah, one more question.
One more, and then we're out.
Okay. The movie, I'm trying to think how to make this into a question, just a bit of trivia. What was the original title? The original title was not When Harry Met Sally.
Peppers on My Paprikash.
Okay.
Seasons of Love. Love in New York.
No. The original title, Nora Ephron wanted the title to be How They Met.
Okay.
And then they went through a lot of different titles. And finally, Rob Reiner, he did a contest while they were shooting, and he said whoever comes up with the answer wins a case of champagne.
Wow.
And then I guess someone came up with it and they want to get a case of champagne.
Wow.
Also, other bit of trivia is that Billy Crystal stayed in a room by himself, separate from the crew, while they were shooting, so he could get into the lonely mindset of Harry.
What a fucking baby. All right, let's watch Act 3.
Let's watch Act 3. All right. Come back for next episode. Thanks, everyone.
Later, taters.
Thanks, patrons. Later, taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cabin, Kevin James Doyle, and John Sieber. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and narrated by Katie Sieber. This podcast is part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Check out all their great podcasts at seltzerkings.com. You can find the boys on their socials at The Bradshaw Boys or on their website at bradshawboys.com. And as always, if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.